This is where we are going to start this morning. I'm going to share a couple verses from Psalm 119. We're going to start here and end here. So it's kind of like a sandwich. We're going to go through a bunch of meaty stuff, a bunch of flavorful stuff. It's kind of like that. They're kind of things. It's a little chunky. May not seem like they belong together, but it's one complete thing. So we're going to start here and end here this morning. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2 says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instruction of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts." And we're going to be talking about obedience this morning, but why I'm going to start here and end here is because I think that oftentimes you talk about obedience and it's kind of a topic that we want to shy away from a little bit. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is because our interactions when it comes to authority figures demanding obedience and whatnot, we take that and we imprint that onto God as far as what he means by obedience. And that's not the case. And then the enemy comes and does all he can to lie to you about the effects of following the Lord in obedience, saying that you're going to have to sacrifice and it's not actually as good as it sounds. And you know what? You're actually going to have a better time if you don't obey the Lord, but that's not the case. And we're going to find this morning that joy and blessing are found in humble obedience to God. That's what we're going after this morning. So are we ready to go there? Amen. Okay, you guys good? Let's go there. Last week we said this. We said that there is a way we have been called and instructed and invited to live. The Lord has instructed us in how we are to live. We are to live as light. And we went over all of this, saying that living as light results in God's goodness being displayed for all. I wish we would have been able to pop the lights on last week. It would have went really well with the message. But living as light displays God's goodness for all to see, and the impact of that is the world coming and giving praises to our Heavenly Father. And we use Daniel as our primary example. And you look at Daniel's life, and you're like, what did he do? He has this relationship with the king, and he lives this life, and then all of a sudden the king is sending out this decree that all the world is to recognize and worship the God of Daniel. What did he do? All he did was this, is he humbly obeyed the Lord. It's as simple as that. He humbly obeyed the Lord. A life lived as light is a life lived in humble obedience to God. What we're working toward this morning, this kind of obedient sandwich that we have, is we're working toward showing that there's blessing when we obey the Lord. In fact, purpose, joy, abundant life, satisfaction, it's all found on the other side of humble obedience. The lies that the enemy is speaking to us is to keep us from that. It's to keep us from that. We want to go over this obedience thing because oftentimes we can fall into this trap of summing up our Christian experience as in the instructions to follow Jesus as simply a daily routine, a checklist of sorts that we go through. I wake up at, 7 o'clock, I do my daily routine, I read my Bible, I pray, I'm good. I go to church a couple times a month, I'm good. I believe there is a God, I'm good. It's not a checklist. It's a life lived in obedience. We aren't allowed as followers of Jesus just to merely exist, go through our checks, and be okay. What I think that does is it actually leads to a lot of frustration because we end up wondering, wait a second, why is it that I'm reading these stories in Scripture and the lives of these men and women of faith don't resemble the life or the experience that I have with God at all? It's because you've been convinced that obedience doesn't have to be part of following Jesus, but it's a crucial key part. It's actually a very obvious part, too. I mean, to follow somebody else's footsteps, you literally have to go where they go, listen to what they're saying, do what they do. We came to follow Jesus, to follow his leading and his instruction. Look at Philippians 3. And we're reading the second half of verse 12, saying, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." Show the results of your salvation through obedience. The proof of our salvation comes in the form of obedience. The way we show off the work Jesus has done on the cross, the work that he has done in your life, is through our obedience to God. In my obedience, I am putting on display the work that Jesus has done in my life. This is what obedience does. This is the effect that it has. The Holy Spirit is the one who seals us. You have the Holy Spirit, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's there. You're sealed. You're good. There is no way for you to work for your salvation. Obedience isn't a way for us to say, let me repay the things that Jesus has done for me. You're not doing that. Obedience isn't a way for me to say, hey, everybody, look how good I am. That's not what it is either. It's simply us putting on display who God is. And we're going to explore that. That's why I'm doing this message right after talking about light last week, putting on God's display. Because when we're talking about how to be light, we're actually just talking about obedience. Just as the fruits of the Spirit are evidence of us walking in the Spirit, obedience is a type of evidence that we have had the salvation in Jesus, that he has come and done this work in our lives. You guys know this. To prove that I'm an able driver, I have a driver's license. I don't have my wallet on me, but I do have a license. But to prove that I'm an able driver, I can show my license, right? But even though I passed a test once, answered a bunch of questions and all of this, and some guy said I was okay to drive, I still have to continue to drive in a proper way, adequate for the roads and the laws, correct? And at any time, I can be pulled over for not doing so. If I get pulled over and say, hey, well, you know, I have a license. It's like, well, that doesn't mean you get to do anything you want to now. You're driving 120 back there, guy. Sorry. Sounded like my father-in-law. Yeah. I still have to prove to the world, hey, I passed that test before. I'm adequate. See, what happened 10 years ago is I did this. And in obedience, that's exactly what we're doing. Hey, what happened 10 years ago is that I accepted Christ in my life and he worked a real work in my life. You see now in my obedience, I'm still putting that on display and you see that he's still working on me. See this, I am who I'm obeying and how I'm obeying him. You see what's going on. I'm putting him on display. If you've ever done any sort of athletic activity, there's always this kind of desire in you to kind of look at your results a little bit. Look at your results. Runners, you run for a while, you're like, why don't I just enter into a 5K race, see how I'm doing against everybody else? I just want to kind of see the results of what's happened. Obedience is just that, showing off the results, not of me, but of God and what he's done in my life. And this obedience comes from continually recognizing who God is, saying, obey with fear and trembling, saying, keep this image of who God is in your mind. Keep it close to your heart. Understand there is a real God that you are going to stand before one day. And you're going to answer for your entire life. That thought makes me really glad that I have Jesus as my advocate, standing there right with me. I have a lot of things to answer for. I got Jesus with me, so I'm confident, so I can enter into his throne confidently. But keep in mind who he is, his power, his authority, his position as God in my life, the reality of who he is. Because you cannot follow Jesus without obedience. It can't be done. In the book of James, chapter 2, Abraham's life is thrown in as an example. I'm reading verses 22 and 23. Don't you remember our ancestor Abraham? He was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and actions worked together, and now his actions made his faith complete. Simply stating you believe there is a God or believe in the God does not do anything. A couple verses before this, it's being stated, hey, look, the demons believe this and they tremble in fear. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that just believing there's a God doesn't do anything. Just like picking a favorite team doesn't mean you participated in their winning. A lot of you guys soon will be cheering for your favorite team in the Super Bowl. You're not a part of the team. You're a fan. Did I hurt somebody's feelings? You're a fan.
You got really close there.
You're a fan. Participating in the winning, participating in the purposes and the goals of the team, make you a member of the team. Obedience is an active display of where our faith is, of where our hope is, and where our trust resides. This is obedience. It is an active display for all to see, he is where I put my faith, my hope, and my trust. It shows clearly for all. Abraham's faith was tested, and his obedient actions showed his faith was in God, not in the promised child, not in the wealth he had gathered, not in anything else but God alone. So it's counted to him as righteousness. We are being called to a life of obedience, humble obedience to the Lord. I'm going to use Jericho as an example. You guys familiar with the story of Jericho? Walls come tumbling down, all that stuff. Moses dies. The Israelites are now done with their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua is now taking the reins. Before they cross the Jordan and go to take Jericho, God says this in Joshua 1, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Be very courageous because the task before you is not an easy one. It's going to require strength. It's going to require courage. But the key here is obedience to my commands. God's call to obedience is an invitation to draw closer to him. He's saying, stay close to me. Stay close to me and I will take care of you. Rely on me, trust in me, put your faith in me, just as your father Abraham did. And in that invitation to draw closer, there's the opportunity. It's an opportunity to draw closer to the blessings that reside in his presence. Understand, where God is where all the blessing is. Where God is where all the life is. Where God is your purpose. Everything you are searching for deep down, it resides in the presence of God. My success is there. And for Joshua, God was reminding him of this fact. Your success resides with me. Obey me. Follow me. Then you will find success. James 4 puts it clearly, and we're not going to read a verse. It says, draw close to the Lord and he'll draw close to you. Therefore, everything in his presence comes along with him. So they cross the Jordan, they send some spies, they cross the Jordan, and they prepare to go and take Jericho. And God says this to Joshua, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. All that was to be done now was obey. And God instructs them this way. It's kind of an odd battle strategy. He says you're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant in front of you. Okay, great. Seventh day, they're thinking, okay, great. Now this is when we attack. No, seventh day, you're going to walk around 7 times. All the while, the priests with the ark blowing their horns, and on the last final blow, you are going to give a loud shout, all of the people. And they do this. And what happens is the walls of the city crumble. They go in, and they follow the instruction of the Lord to wipe out everything except for Rahab the prostitute and her family who helped the spies enter and escape the city. They do this. Israel succeeds. It's a great victory. The very next battle, they lose. The very next one, just, no, push back. No, they're like, wait a second, what happened? Well, it turns out that somebody decided not to obey the command of the Lord and takes treasure and begins and plunders Jericho for himself, disobeying the command of the Lord. So in the very next battle, who's not standing with them? Where their success is, God not standing with them. But these stories communicate to a couple things, and I think this is important for us to understand about obedience. So if I need to slow down, just throw your hand up, and I'm going to slow down. Because this is where things can get really mixed up. Understand this. The actions involved in their obedience isn't what brought about the victory. It wasn't what brought about the victory. Their shouting did not do anything to the wall. What brought about the victory was God. Period. They didn't help him. They didn't assist him in any way. God brought about the victory. The actions in themselves, it was simply them saying, we're obeying our God. Our allegiance, our faith, our trust reside in him. So that's point one. The next point is their obedience aligns themselves with God. And so now instead of standing against a power, they're standing with the power. This makes sense? So their obedience, the shouting, nothing. No physical effect on the wall. But what it did do, it was them answering God's invitation into obedience. That's where the blessing is. That's where the success is. That's where their victory was with God. Is this clear? I'm trying to get some feedback and I'm not seeing it. And this is the reason I'm wording it like this. I'm not standing up here and saying, hey, what you need to do is you need to go shout at your problem. You don't need to go shout at your problem. You need to obey the Lord. You look at examples of obedience in Scripture, it's not that you need to go do that thing that God told them. It's that you need to go do the thing that God is telling you right now. And God stands with you because you're choosing to stand with him. He's inviting you through obedience to stand alongside him. And when you say yes to that and obey him, you stand with him. But when you disobey it, you're saying, maybe I don't need that. It would be foolish of the Israelites to think that they could win their next battle without God. But the results of the disobedience did that. God did not fight on their behalf in the next battle. This is made right. And they go on to win a total in Joshua's life of 31 battles. They learn their lesson of obedience at Jericho and in their next battle. I need to stand with God in obedience because that is where my success is. That is where my victory is. That's where my life is. That is where satisfaction is. When I answer God's invitation into obedience, I am stepping into his presence where blessing and joy are found. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stephen, yes. Yep.
I just wanted it because there's something
As you're sharing that, such an odd thing is what you're sharing is the peculiar thing to just shout at a wall is so odd, but it's almost the same thing that he tells us to do, to pray. Mm-hmm. When he says to pray about everything, that's in obedience because it's just a peculiar thing just to speak to, talk to, listen to a God we don't see. But he says pray about everything instead of worrying about everything. And in that is where God actually, we align ourselves with what God is doing. You know, our prayers have an impact, but is it because we pray that God does, or is it because we pray that we see that God is doing and we align ourselves with what God is wanting to do and desiring to do in not just our lives, but the lives of others? So it's a peculiar thing, but it's what God asks us to do, obediently do, is just pray. Pray first and then see where God takes us from there. And that's like some of the, it's one of the most more challenging things to do as a believer is to just pray about it.
Yeah.
But that's what he tells us to do first and foremost, pray about it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying let's pray into what God wants us to be and to do, especially in the people's lives that just need Jesus.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I think a way, you know, I'm using this wording of their obedience had no impact on the wall because I don't want us to, so I'm going to clarify a statement I made after that is obedience, there are results of obedience. And it's clear that the result of their obedience is that God acted how God's going to act. And what we're doing is we're aligning ourselves with who he is and what he is doing. So a better way to say no effect is instead the results aren't, their shouting didn't vibrate the wall to crumble. Their shouting was a way of saying, Lord, come and do your will. We are at the mercy of your will. And in giving, we're doing the same thing. We're declaring him provider. We're saying, Lord, we are at the mercy of your will. We want to be in your will. And this next month, that's exactly what we're doing too. Lord, when it comes to our friends and our family, when it comes to the people that we want to come see you, we're leaving in the mercy of your will. We're going to play our part in obedience, which is to pray for them, which is to be light in their light, in their life, which is to be obedient to your word at all times. But we're leaving it to you. This is you. This is you. Amen? Because in obedience, what we're saying is it's not about me at all. It's about God. It's not about me at all. It's about God. Giving him the glory because he is deserving. And in the grand scheme of things, I've done nothing. Imagine being at Jericho and having witnessed it. You're thinking, what are these guys doing? They're just marching around. Then they begin shouting. We don't know how long this shout went on. Just one long blast. But they begin shouting. They're like, what is going on? To anyone looking on, it would have been obvious something else acted on their behalf. God acted on their behalf. And the peculiar nature, I like that, peculiar nature of obedience, the peculiarness is actually God's, it's actually the way that God goes, it's me, not them. It's odd because it's not them, it's me. You're looking at them acting in obedience, expecting that they're bringing down the wall, but they're not bringing down the wall. I'm bringing down the wall. Amen? Because there has to be a peculiarness in obedience because it's God doing. And the goal is that we would put God on display, not ourselves on display. The answer is they didn't rely on themselves. They relied on God. And everyone who witnessed could only draw that conclusion. And in obedience, we lead other people to that same conclusion. It is God who is working in their life. But obedience requires humility. It requires humility. Because it becomes not about me, it becomes about him. And we know that pride doesn't allow that to happen. Pride always puts the focus on me. So obedience requires humility. A rejection of my will, my wants, my desires, my opinions, my thoughts in place of his. Jesus does this. It says in Philippians that he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. The obedience of Jesus to the Father required humility. It's the same for us. Obedience to the Father is going to require humility. When pride is allowed any ground in our lives, obedience cannot thrive because pride chokes out humility and obedience. In fact, so much so that if you're having an obedience issue, you're more than likely having a pride issue. Every time there seems to be an obedience issue, it's more than likely a pride issue that's going on. Because pride chokes out humility, and without humility, there cannot be obedience. In humble obedience, pride isn't given any room to grow. It's not given any room to grow. It's just like this. You guys know I like lawns. The easiest way for me to take care of weeds in a lawn is to simply let the lawn thrive and choke it out. The two don't survive well together. In humble obedience, there is no pride. And in pride, there is no humble obedience. Because obedience isn't about getting what we want. We may have an idea of what we want and how we want it, but ultimately, obedience aligns ourselves with not our wants, but God's desires. Not only his desire to give you what he wants and have it come, but also to have it come about in the way that he wants. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him." Not what pleases you, but what pleases him. The life we have been called to, the life you have been created for, the life where we find purpose and fulfillment is the life where we are doing what pleases God. The two go hand in hand. The messaging of the world says that to find purpose, you must find out what you truly desire. But the messaging of the Bible and the truth is to find what pleases you, to be satisfied in this life, you must do what pleases God. Because there's a reality, and the reality is this: the more you make your life about you, the more miserable you will be. Because the more it's about you, the further away you draw from God. So allow God to give you the desires, and it's in doing what pleases God that you will find pleasure. So allow him to give you his desires. Allow him to give you the power to do what pleases him. Crucifying our flesh, walking by the Spirit, living lives in line with his will, full of power and joy. Okay, we're toward the other side of our sandwich now. I'm going to go to Psalm 119, 1 through 2 again. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instruction of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. In obedience, there is joy. It's plain. All throughout Scripture, the same thing is iterated. In obedience, there is joy. In obedience, you will find purpose. In obedience, you find life satisfying. Because in obedience, you're drawing closer and closer and closer to the source of these things. You're entering into his presence. We have all been told this lie, whether by the world, whether by our flesh's own desires, that obedience to God means sacrificing all the joy in my life, all the pleasure in my life, and all the freedom in my life. We've been told that, we've heard that, some of us have followed that at one time or another, that obedience means sacrificing joy, pleasure, and freedom in my life. But the reality is this, it's only in obedience to God that we find joy, pleasure, and freedom. We find those things that we've been looking for because only in Jesus are those things found. Only in obedience are we aligned with him and gain access to the blessing that he has waiting for us the entire time. Understand this, Jesus is the answer every time. He's the answer every time. Where's my joy? Where's my purpose? Where's all this? It's in Jesus. Everything else that claims to be the answer is just a lie masquerading as the truth. So why do we hold so tight to Jesus? Because everything I want in my life is there. Everything my heart is searching for is there. The answers to my deepest questions are found in Jesus. When we deny ourselves in humility to God, we find what we've been searching for all along. We become obedient servants who put God on display so that all will come to worship him. The pride of our flesh only wants to give credit to ourselves and put us as the hero. Say, Stephen is the solution. Stephen's the answer. You spend any time around me, you know that's not true. In humble obedience, we discover God is the answer. He's what I need. He's what my life needs. He's what my friends need. He's what every troubling circumstance in my life needs. When you look at these great heroes in the Bible, you say, what did they do to gain favor from God? What did they do that God acted on their behalf and blessed them? They did one thing. They obeyed. And God told them to do one thing, obey. And you find again and again and again, when the disobedience gets into the mix, it is not a pretty picture. The God that we serve is the God who, since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, has desired to bless you and give you life that is fulfilling. He actually created you for that. Do you know you're created for the blessings of God? You're created for it. You're created to dwell in his presence. From the beginning, he has been after pursuing you to give you this blessing that is found in him. From Eden, now culminating in Jesus, to give you the blessing. And this is the message that we are actually proclaiming to the world. There is blessing for you found in Jesus. Amen? Amen. There is love abounding, there is life, there is satisfaction, and it's all found in Jesus. As we go out this next month, and we say, hey, would you come with me to church? Or we say, where are you with the Lord? I just have to ask. What we want to do is we want to put God on display as light and in obedience. Obey this month, and watch how God moves in your life. According to his will, it's not going to look like you want it to or think it should, but he's going to move in your life according to his will as you come to him in humble obedience. So I want to challenge us this morning to accept God's invitation into obedience, to draw closer to him and enjoy the blessing that he has provided for us in his blessing. When you answer that call and say, Lord, I am coming to you in humble obedience, you're saying, I want to step into your presence where blessing is found. Amen? Yes. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning, and we worship you as a Father, as a God of goodness, of great deeds. Lord, we answer your invitation with a shout saying, yes, We will come to you in humble obedience. Thank you, Father, for pursuing me. Thank you, Lord, for being in pursuit of my friends and family. Father, teach us to obey you. Be with us this week, Lord. Open up opportunity, Lord, for us to put on display your goodness. Point out the areas in our life that don't align with your word so that we can enjoy joy, so that we can have peace in our life, so that we can have all the blessing that you have intended for us. And before we leave, Lord, allow us to worship you well, declaring you as our God, as our King, the one who desires to bless us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.